Good morning, church. Sorry, I always have to start it like that. If I could be turned down just a little bit, please. I always like to start like that because it just kind of gets me in the mood. I want to say congratulations to all you Eagles fans yesterday. Good job. And of course, for those Patriot fans out there, really excited about that. Also, just want to just mention to you, next Sunday we will be having Bread and Cup Communion here in worship, and so just be attentive to that, and as you go through your week, just be in prayer with how God is moving in your midst and in your heart to participate in that way. Why don't we pause for a moment of prayer, and then we'll dive into the message today. God, we thank you for the family that we were born into. However, we are most thankful for the family we get to choose to be a part of. Help us to recognize the power of our spiritual family, the power to love and encourage and support and challenge us to go beyond ourselves and to be more like Jesus. May we ever be mindful of our relationship with you and one another as we continue our journey together. Amen. We are continuing the series called We Are. It's a series meant to help us look at our mission as a congregation. Last week was Victory Sunday, and we celebrated what God had done in and through you all, in and through ECOB, over the last year, and began to look at what God might be calling us to in 2018. Remember, we are to keep our faces forward. We are to listen to the instructor, and we are to risk it all, especially risking it all for Jesus. As we dive deeper into our mission, we're going to take a word each week and dissect it a little bit more, looking at the scriptures that gave us an idea of how this mission statement were to kind of form together. And here it is. We are a family of disciples, it says, that desire to connect to, grow in, live out, and radiate the transformative power of Jesus. We connect, we grow, we live, we radiate his love to this world around us. Now today we're going to take a look at what it means to be family. It's something that many people value, but do we understand what Jesus meant about family? What he meant about his spiritual family? Well, we're going to find out. Now, the people up there are part of my biological family, and we're a large group. I know there are many people here who have extremely large families. Apparently that's a Lancaster County thing. Over the course of many years, I have learned from them, I have loved them, been encouraged by them, and helped by them. They're a great bunch. They are an extremely loud bunch of people. When my family gets together, which is normally a few times each year, it's unreal, everything happening everywhere, and for an introvert like me, yes, I am an introvert, it's always difficult to keep up. I always get really anxious when I need to go to family outings. Now, this is my mom's side of the family on the kind of right-hand side, and Jen's side of the family on the left-hand side. Now, my dad's side of the family is really small. Actually, it's just my dad right now. He had two sisters that were not married, didn't have any children. That side of the family, well, they were very outspoken and stubborn and candid, none of which you know about me. And when we got together, we would have deep theological discussions and conversation about God and how our lives were going. While those conversations would get heated, again, passionate Messler side, for the most part, they were relatively calm. I love my family. They are and they were filled with some of the most tremendous people in my life. They are real estate people. They are nurses. They are Navy SEALs. They are government workers. They are musicians. They are stockbrokers. They are different, yet they're all bound together by marriage, by blood. They are family. Some are eccentric, some are quiet, some are bold and daring, and others are reserved and keep to themselves. That's me. But we are family. Overall, these people are the people that God has placed in my life. I did not get to choose who would be in my family. That was determined without my input and without my direction. My biological family is one that I could never truly leave until death takes us all. I will always be connected with them in some way, shape, or form. Now, this is my spiritual family. A few different pictures of the people that I grew up with over years. Up in the top left-hand corner is my Happy Corner church family. That was a youth event that we did. Down at the bottom left is my Frederick family. And up on the top right is my Frederick family, and that's a trip that we made to Ghana, and that was a youth ministry. And then, of course, the top center and the bottom right, well, guess who that is? That's you all, my spiritual family. These are the people that I have chosen to do life with. Yes, it's like a piece of fudge. Most of the time, people are really sweet, and yes, there are a few nuts in them. This is the group of people that have molded me and shaped me, walked with me through some of the most difficult times in my life. These are people who prayed with me, held me accountable, loved on me, even when they didn't need to. The fact is, they wanted to. Our spiritual family is so vastly different than those in our biological family. I spend time thinking about both families. I spend time in prayer, time on the phone, through texting, developing and sustaining most of these relationships. You see, one relationship will end with death, but the other will last for eternity. One I see kind of every once in a while. The other I see weekly as we gather for worship. One knows my heart, but the other knows my very soul. I want you to think about your families for a moment, your spiritual ones and your biological ones. Think about the difference, the choice you didn't make to be with your biological family, but the choice you are making by being a part of this spiritual family here at ECOB. Friends, how blessed we are in order to receive such a blessing from God. I often wonder why Jesus then uses these words in the book of Matthew. If you'll turn with me, Matthew chapter 12. Again, Matthew's first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 46 through 50. Go ahead and turn there with me. We're on your phone there. Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to be hitting a variety of scriptures today, but this is the one that really kind of struck home with me. I want you to listen to these words. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. It says this. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mothers and his brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brother are standing outside wanting to speak to you. That's really good to know. And he replied to them, well, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. Now, I think these are some of the most interesting words from Jesus because to me, it seems as though Jesus is placing a higher priority on those whom he is discipling than those of his own biological family. He seems to be placing a higher priority on those whom he is developing spiritually than those whom he grew up with. You know, family are funny things, and I don't mean funny in the sense of humorous. Families are strange and they are wonderful, but they are very dangerous. The people that we love the deepest are probably part of our family. In the family unit, there's a potential for the most fulfilling and closest relationships that are possible here on earth. But with that closeness, there's an inherent danger. You see, if trust is broken or if some kind of bitterness arises, those relationships also have the greatest potential of love, also have the greatest potential to inflict deep wounds. No one can hurt you like a member of your family because you entrust with them a part of your heart. You are most vulnerable to pain from those who are closest to you. I think that might have been why George Burns said, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. If you just open up the Bible and you look at all the different kinds of family, you will see that it's very striking. There are all kinds of family strife going on. See Cain and killing his brother Abel, right, out of jealousy. Jacob bartering with Esau for his birthrights and then tricks his dad Isaac out of Esau's blessing. Jacob and his brothers were jealous that they sold him into slavery. Actually, they wanted to kill him. Jeremiah's family deserted him because of the unpopular message. Even Jesus' family at one time thought he was crazy, and they came to take him home to get him back to his senses. Nothing is more challenging than maintaining peace in the family. That's why it's not somewhat surprising when God is looking for an image to describe the church here on earth, he most often uses the image of a family together. The New Testament is cram-packed with the idea of a church as a family. In Ephesians 2:13, it says, Paul tells us of the members of God's household. The image is so deeply woven into the fabric of Christian thought that we can actually miss it. God is constantly thought of as a heavenly Father who provides the needs for his children. We are often refer to one another as what? Brothers and sisters, right, in Christ. Or we say, this is my church family. Quite honestly, there's so many references in the New Testament to this idea, I couldn't even begin to touch them on, and we could be here all afternoon discussing the implications of family. And so instead of just kind of randomly going about scriptures, focusing on different aspects of the family, I want us to focus on why the relationships between us and God and us and one another are so important. You see, what this idea of church as a family tells us is that the DNA or genetic lineage does not determine our family. Family is determined by relationship. The New Testament uses a Greek word called koinonia, and most English translations are translated as fellowship. But fellowship more than just a little chit-chat or over Hebrews cafe time, right? In the Bible, fellowship is about sharing yourself with others. Koinonia, it means being involved with one another, knowing what's going on, holding one another accountable, helping out where is needed, working side by side, and even sometimes making sure that someone is fully protected. There are two basic types of relationships that I want to discuss this morning. First is how we relate to God in the concept of the family. The Bible speaks of this good news in John chapter 1, 10 through 13. We learn that not every person on earth is part of God's family, only those who believe in Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, John writes these words, "But although the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him when he came. Even in his own land, among his own people, he was not accepted. But to all who believe in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." They are reborn. And this is not a physical rebirth resulting from human passion or plan. This rebirth comes from God. You see, when we believe that Jesus is God's son and we place our trust in him, our position with God changes. Instead of having to live in fear of God's wrath, we live in the confidence of God's love. We begin to have koinonia, or fellowship with God. When we share our lives with him, he shares his blessings with us. He is not just our creator, but he becomes our Father in heaven who provides for our needs, disciplines us when we need to be straightened out, loves us all the more. We turn to him when we are in times of need, and we thank him for all the blessings that he showers upon us. We don't take that for granted. See, Jesus died on a cross so that we could relate to God as Father instead of someone who has wrath against us. God wanted to adopt us so much into his family that he sent his one and only perfect Son to accept the penalty of our sin. What an incredible story that is. So in Romans, after Paul explains that we are adopted into God's family when we place our faith in Christ, he goes on to tell us that when we come to recognize that fact, it should change the way that we behave. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 8. It says, "You should not be like the cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. For the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are what? God's children." When you think about God as a Father who loves you so incredibly much, it changes your attitude and your lifestyle. I don't think I really understood that until I had a child myself. See, as a father, I love Caden no matter what she does. When I see her doing well, my heart swells with pride. When she doesn't do the things that I know she should be doing, which is extremely rare. I mean, I think I have closest to the perfect kid here. But when she doesn't, my heart hurts. I grieve that a little bit. But knowing that, and knowing how much God loves me, I want to live to please God. If he tells me to live a certain way, I want to make him smile by living that way. When he tells me I should stay away from something, I want to stay away because I love him and I don't want to grieve him. I want to live up according to his loving expectations of me. But even when I don't live up to those expectations, he doesn't disown me. I might get disciplined. He's always there to hear my apologies, though, and he never holds a grudge. The great news about God is that, unlike me, he is a perfect father. He longs to relate to you. He wants to hear from you regularly in prayer, and he's always there to really listen when you speak. He also wants you to listen to him when he speaks. And what I've noticed, though, is that often we get too busy spending time with God that we begin to feel distant. Realize if you are distanced from God, friends, he has not moved. Make sure you regularly relate to Father in heaven by talking and listening and doing his will. Well, the second part of our Christian family are the relationships of the ones that we have here with our brothers and sisters. Once again, this idea of koinonia is right at the heart of how we have to relate to one another. We need to share ourselves, our time, our blessings from our Heavenly Father, the things that are going on in our lives, and they all get shared among the family. Acts 2 share these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and preaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who has need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The early church was so captivated by God's love for them that it literally overflowed into each other's lives. That's the way it is when you have a close relationship with God. It makes you closer to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 3, the apostle said there are two main ways to tell if someone is in the family of God. First of all, he said that someone who's a part of the family will do whatever the Father says to do. And the second is that you can tell if someone's part of the family is if they love their brothers and sisters in Christ. In our most recent membership class, which we have about four times a year, one's coming up soon, we asked everyone why they chose ECOB to be their church home. What almost to the person was shared was not how great the ministry was, or how amazing the worship was, sorry Dean, or how wonderful the staff was, sorry Rob, but they shared that ECOB felt like family. In a sense, they experienced the koinonia that we have been talking about this morning. They looked at ECOB as a family, and each one of them were thankful for this great and loving church. What a great testimony it is to hear people who are excited about how loving our church is. The church is really great at loving one another. I see a lot of genuine fellowship going on Sunday as people laugh and share together. Many of you are involved in one another's lives throughout the week. You get together and you pray for one another. You support one another. When we have a family member here who is in difficulty, there are those who surround them and help them out. Sometimes it means bringing meals or helping out with kids or even helping out with financial needs. Friends, this is koinonia. This is what it means to be a part of a fellowship, to be together. But as we wrap up this morning, I want to share that's one thing that all followers of Christ should have in common. It's a DNA that the scripture called us to this morning. That core part of who we are is our obedience and surrender to God. Sometimes you can identify biological members by the physical trait that they have. You know, for instance, some family share a trait or tendencies of fair skin and freckles and red hair, right? Others may have black hair or olive skin. It's in our DNA. Jesus says that there is an identifiable trait in every member of his family. From the scripture that was read in Matthew chapter 12, he says this, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister." The DNA of a Christian is obedience to God. And that may scare you a little because you're worried about all the other commandments in the Bible, right? Well, Jesus said all the commandments can be summed up in two of them, right? To love your God with all of your what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. To obey God doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect, but it means that you're going to have a desire and disposition towards growing obedience in Him. Your desire to obey God means that you're going to act differently when you're part of God's family. Craig Barnes, a pastor that I've met a couple of times of the National Presbyterian Church in D.C., shares a story from his boyhood that I wanted to share with you, because it's a great image of how we are to treat one another and how the power of a family can transform us. When I was a child, Craig says, my father, who was a pastor, brought home a 12-year-old boy named Roger, whose parents died from a drug overdose. There's no one to care for Roger, so my folks decided that they were going to raise him as one of his own sons. And at first, it was quite difficult for Roger to adjust to this new home, an environment of love that was free from heroin-addicted adults. Every day, several times a day, I heard my parents saying to Roger, no, 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 Roger, that's not how we behave in this family. Or, no, no, you don't have to scream or fight or hurt other people to get what you want. And in time, Roger began to change. Did Roger have to make all those changes in order to become part of the family? Well, no. He was made part of the family simply because of the grace of my father, Craig continues. Did he have to submit, obey, and yield to the values of the family? You bet he did. It was tough for Roger to change, but he was motivated by the gratitude for the incredible love that he had received. Every time Roger attempted to revert back to his old behaviors, he remained mindful of the grace and the love that delivered him from a family of dysfunction, spiritual darkness, and desperation. What a great lesson for us. When we become part of God's family, we have to learn it's not how we behave in this family. It takes us a while to learn what it means to be living like a member of God's family. But we should all thank God for His amazing grace that accepted us into His family without demanding that we act perfect before we become a part of it. Examine your life for a moment. Do you display a DNA of obedience to God? Do you love God? And do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Don't expect a perfect church. There aren't any perfect families, and so there's never going to be a perfect church. I ran across a poem by Marvin Williams that says this: if you should find a perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sakes, don't join that church. You'll spoil the atmosphere. But since no perfect church exists, we're all imperfect men, then please stop looking for that church and love the church you're in. Keep on serving your church until the resurrection, then we'll all form the church without an imperfection. Everybody needs a family. Whether you're young or you're old or you're single or you're married, you need a family. Loneliness is the reason why so many people are desperate nowadays. People are in need of positive and encouraging interaction. People are in need of someone who will just love them. We are born to be in community with one another, not to be alone in this world. So if you are lonely and you're looking for a family, God will take care of you. May you've been looking for a family for a long time that will love and support you just the way you are. Don't look any further. You have found that family here. One of the best places to find companionship and friendship and love today is the church. Friends, we are family. Almost comes to that song in my mind, don't you? We are family, all my brothers and sisters and me. Now, I want to challenge you this morning to give yourself more to developing the relationships of that family. With God, don't neglect the opportunities to have to listen and speak with Him. Read His Word diligently. Pray without ceasing while you're driving or showering or getting ready for bed at night. Pray to God. Make sure to live in that intimate fellowship with God, that koinonia with God, a heavenly Father that longs to relate to you in every moment of every day. Second, develop your relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ right around you. Yeah, You know, it's like I said, it's like fudge. We're sweet, but there are some nuts in here too. The truth is, you're going to be spending eternity with these people, so you might as well learn to like them now. Invest yourself with others. Get involved in a life group or support group or a connect group. Connect with the ministry team and serve alongside of your brothers and sisters. We are family here. We're friends. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a choice to be here. We have a choice to be on the field, to be playing the game, to be grinding it out with our family, or we have the choice to be sitting on the sidelines or even in the stands, just watching God move through this team, this family that we call ECOB. So this morning, yes, we can celebrate. We can celebrate that God had so long ago brought some people together to plant a church called Ephrata Church of the Brethren. We can celebrate that so many people came before us in this great cloud of witnesses, developing disciples, celebrating the family, diving deeper, connecting with one another, growing with one another, living with one another, and radiating the transformative power of Jesus to this community and world. Friends, enjoy your family. But not only that, thank God for surrounding you with others who love Him and who desire to be with Him. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this family and for the opportunity to continue to grow together in you. God, as we begin to look at our mission is to be a family of disciples. And so, God, as we learn and as we grow together, let us not just be that unto ourselves, but may we encourage and support those around us who desire to grow as well. God, may we walk together hand in hand on the field that you have called us to, of Ephrata, to celebrate who you are, to allow you to work in and through us, transforming us by the power of your Son, Jesus. For we surrender all of these things to you, Lord God, and we desire to obey your call on our lives fully. For we pray in his name. Amen.